Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful presence. Thank you for being with us just tonight, Lord. We thank you for all that you've done in these meetings and all that you're going to do. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to do something marvelous now. Through your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your voice. We thank you that when you speak, things are created, things are demolished, things happen, the enemy flees. Lives are shaken when you speak. God, we ask you to speak now through your word, Lord, as we listen. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking tonight, and we ask you to speak now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Did you enjoy our dad's testimony? It was his 81st birthday this week, so I always get him to do his testimony. Thought I better get him to do his testimony because you never know how many more opportunities you'll get. He makes me laugh. And the other day I rang him and he said, "Oh, I've been out to the oldies. I've been to an old people's home, telling the oldies about Jesus." I thought, "How old can you get? I bet they're the youngies, really." But that's great. And it was nice to see Stuart doing that bit of service for Dean there. Did you notice that? Dean's guitar strap fell off and he came and helped him. If my braces go down, will you do that for me while I'm preaching? Brilliant. So I just want to share with you three quick thoughts about an unusual little passage in the Old Testament about four lepers. I don't know if you know this story. It's a bit of an interesting story. It's a time in the history of Israel where they're in trouble. There's a city called Samaria that's under siege. Everyone's starving in the city. People are dying. It's desperate. There's an army of Aramean soldiers around the city, and no one's going anywhere. And they're all gridlocked, and it's terrible, desperate. There's even cannibalism going on in the city, and people are eating the dead, and it's horrific. And they're just desperately, desperately in trouble. And these four lepers stood in the gate. I mean, you know, you couldn't get lower than that, could you? Not only are you suffering what everyone else is suffering, starving and everything, you're lepers as well. I mean, you couldn't get any lower than that. These guys are in the gate and they just have this amazing experience. It says this, it's 2 Kings 7, verses 3 and 9, just these six verses. It says, "Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die?'" Good question. "If we say we go into the city, the famine's there, we'll die. If we stay here, we're going to die. Let's go over to that camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they'd said to each other, "Look, the king of Israel must have hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." And they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver and gold and clothes, and they went off and hid them, and then they returned and entered. And you can imagine these guys, can't you? It's almost funny. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. But then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." And bless them, they do. They go and tell the city. The city comes out and finds this camp empty, all the food there, all the riches and so on. And they change the whole situation. And I was just thinking about these four guys and the change that came into their life because they were willing to do that. They were willing to take a risk. And there's just three little thoughts for tonight. One is this: if you stay where you are, you'll die. They said, "If we stay here, we're going to die." You know, in other words, if you don't move from where you are in your life, You're going to die anyway. What is there to lose? What is there to lose with coming over to the Lord's camp? Coming over to the Lord's side? This pub's split in half tonight. There's one side that you can hear. And there's another side that actually you can hear as well. One song's going up to heaven. It's pleasing God. Angels are coming down. The presence of God is in this room quite strongly. I don't know whether you can feel that. God is here. And yet, you know what? God loves the people the other side of the wall so much. With tears flowing down his face, compassion for each one of them. And you. He loves us all equally. And God wants people to move from that camp to this camp. And maybe from your camp to his camp as well. I don't know exactly where everyone is. But I'll tell you this much. If you stay where you are, you'll die. These guys, they've came to that point of truth. You know, if you stay where you are, you'll die. Let's gamble on Jesus. Let's risk something. Our dad spoke about gambling. Well, why not take a few risks on Jesus? You know, why live as though there's no God when there is a God? Why live as though you're an orphan when there's a Father in heaven? Why live as though there's no one who can heal us when there's Jesus who's willing to heal us? Why not take a risk? Why not take a step of faith? Why not move? Why not try God? What is there to lose? You know, I remember becoming a Christian. If he became a Christian 21 years ago, I must have become a Christian 25 or 6 years ago. And I remember 18-year-old becoming a Christian and opening the Bible in the kitchen in our flat and reading a little bit about hell. It wasn't the love of God that brought me to Jesus. It was the fear of God. It was. And either way works, incidentally. You know, if the love of God doesn't woo you, let the fear of hell wake you up. Because it's true. It's real. And I opened the Bible and I read about judgment and I read about hell. And you know what? I thought something that I'm glad I thought. I thought if there's even the slimmest chance that this is true, I need to make sure I avoid it. If there's even the slimmest chance that there is a God, you can't afford to miss that. If there's even the slimmest chance that there's heaven or hell and you're going to one of either, you better at least look into it. You better at least give God a chance. You better at least move. Because here's the fact, if you stay where you are, you're dying anyway. You've got nothing to lose. We're dying, aren't we? That's the reality of human life. You're born and you start dying straight away. It's the disease of sin that's in us. You can't stop it, it just starts happening. You know, I don't know what happened to my life. I look in the mirror when someone cuts my hair and I've got a big massive bald patch at the back. You know, I just lost my spots and my hair started falling out. I peaked somewhere. I don't know where I peaked. I think it was about 12. It's a sad thing when you miss your peak, isn't it? But that's what life's like. Death is at work in you and me. We're dying. It's in our kids. Kids are lovely, but there's death. There's sin in them. Our kids say it regularly and I hear it and I know what it means. You know what it means, granddad and grandma and mum and dad, when little kids say those famous two words that are the words all kids say that actually reveal something about their heart. They say, Dad, our kids said it today, Dad, I'm bored. You know what? That's a kid expressing, I'm unhappy. That's a kid expressing, despite all the gadgets and gizmos I've got, I'm empty. Dad, I'm not satisfied. Dad, my needs aren't met. I know, son, welcome to the human race. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And when you get older, isn't that what people in that other room are saying? I'm bored. I'm empty. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. That might be you tonight. You're dying. If you stay, you're going to die anyway. You're dying now. You're dying slowly. Human life is a slow death of sin working in you. Emptiness. You're dying anyway. The clock's ticking. What have you really got to lose? What is life so great for you? Be honest. Is life so great for you that you couldn't gamble on God? That it couldn't get any better with Jesus? It's worth a step of faith, it is. It is, even if you're not sure. What have you got to lose? These guys had nothing to lose. Why not try God? If you stay where you are, you're going to die. I think that's prophetically true for some people tonight, spiritually. If you stay where you are, you're going to die spiritually. You need to move. Some of us live with our hearts in that camp, in the world's camp. We do. We're at church, but our hearts are somewhere else. Jesus said, it's possible. They worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Have you ever been there? Ever been at church? Not at church. Reading your Bible? Not reading your Bible. Your heart's in the world. Your heart's somewhere else. Listen, if that's you tonight, just come back. Move camp. Get out of that camp and get back with where the life is, where the real party is, where there's real food and drink and wealth. It's in Jesus. It's in God. The second thing about these guys, resist. They found a treasure beyond their belief. Beyond belief. They expected slavery and a crust of bread at the best. At the best. I don't know what you're expecting from the kingdom of God or from God or from Jesus. But it's not slavery and a crust of bread. It isn't. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the max and have it full. Full life. You know, that's what Jesus came to bring us, isn't it? The best life. The good life. That isn't life without suffering. It's just life with God. It's life with God. That's the best life. That's as good as life gets on this planet. And guess what? When this planet's finished, it gets better. It gets better. You know, the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon. Solomon was the most famous man on earth at that point. And she came to visit him. And she took a huge pilgrimage to get there. Massive expense. Those days, travel was physically hard. But she did it. Because she'd heard about his wisdom. She'd heard that this guy has some answers about life. And she didn't have the answers. And she must have been a bit of a wise woman already. An educated woman. She wanted to know about life. The meaning of life. So she went to Jerusalem. She went to Solomon. She'd heard about the temple. She'd heard about the worship. She'd heard about the laws. She'd heard about the way God's laws are working for this nation. And she wanted to learn. And she went. And she got to Solomon, and when she saw the temple, and when she heard Solomon live, Solomon used to preach and give lectures on all sorts of things to do with life, and even animals and biology and everything. He did. And she heard him, and the wisdom of God in him. She said this, you know, I heard about you, but actually, the half of it wasn't told me. She was absolutely overwhelmed. She was more than satisfied. Do you know, Jesus said of himself, one greater than Solomon is here. You want the answers to life, you come to Jesus. You come to him. You come to me, he says. And one greater than Solomon is here. And you know what about Jesus? I'll tell you. I don't know, I don't care how long you've known Jesus. The minute we see him, eye to eye, the moment this life is over, and we go to heaven to be with Christ. I'll tell you, we'll all say that. At least that. The half of it wasn't told me. I read it in the Bible, but I didn't see half of it. I've walked with you all my life, Jesus, and I didn't know half of it. The half of it wasn't told me. You have an amazing treasure in Jesus Christ, the like of which you don't even fully know in this life. You don't. Most of it is coming. You'll see it in heaven. And you know what? When you come to Jesus, when you take that step of faith, when you try God over any issue, being filled with the Spirit, repenting and getting right with God, coming back to God, being born again, whatever healing, whatever the issue is, I'll tell you, as soon as you take that step of faith, you realize it was no gamble anyway. It's no big risk. It was no risk. God is faithful. Jesus is faithful to his own word and what he says happens. What he promises, he fulfills. God is faithful, and if we confess our sins, he will forgive us our sins. That's great news, isn't it? It's great news. I remember worshiping a few months ago in a church in Stockton, and during the worship, I just had a picture in my mind, a picture of me carrying heavy shopping bags. Heavy Asda bags, you know, or whatever. Tesco bags, really heavy, you know, and I was carrying them. And then I had this picture of Jesus with a little carrier bag. And I came to him and he said, "Martin, I'll swap you." And I'd let go of these heavy carrier bags, which were full of all my issues and sins and rubbish and anxieties and fears and problems and all the heaviness that we carry around. Heavy, isn't it? It's heavy. Isn't it lovely when you let go of a weight like that? And I saw in this picture, in the worship, just me and Jesus. Jesus gives me another bag. The interesting thing, it was another Tesco bag. It was another little plaggy bag. And in the vision in my mind during the worship, I didn't know what was in it. I opened it. Rubies, gems, diamonds. It really struck me. All the treasures of Christ. I saw myself dipping my hands in them and getting them out. I need them, don't you? I need them. All the spiritual riches of Christ. I need every one of them. You need them. We need what he's got to offer. We do. But you know what? The funny thing was that struck me was it was just a plastic bag. Just a little carrier bag. But inside is the what matters. You know what? This room is just a little rest. It's the building of my arms. But you know what? Right here, it's the gate of heaven. Tonight it is. Jesus is in this room. Heaven is available to you right now. It is. A Christian might share Jesus Christ with you. Don't miss the treasure because of the package. He might not look much. He might not sound much. He might bug you. Yeah, he might have sin in his life. He might be weak. But that doesn't mean Jesus is. Jesus is the treasure who's never disappointed anyone. Never. You know what? I've been a Christian quite a few years, and I've had the privilege as an evangelist of traveling all over the world. I've met people from all sorts of different cultures and social backgrounds and educational backgrounds. I've met hundreds and hundreds of Christians. I've never met one that regretted coming to Jesus Christ. Never. I've never met one that was disappointed with Jesus. Honestly, I haven't. Maybe there's some out there. I haven't met them. I haven't met them. Because Jesus is, it's impossible for him to disappoint. They, the church, can disappoint you sometimes. Other Christians can disappoint you. You can disappoint yourself. But Jesus, never. Never. Because he never fails to deliver who he is. If you can believe him, it's sorted. If you dare believe, if you take that risk, if you'll take that step of faith, if you do what these guys did and say, "Oh, sack this. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm going over. And whatever happens, happens. I'm going to give my life fully to God. I'm going to give my life fully to you. Oh, Jesus, you sort my life out." Do you know what? You'll have an awesome life. You will. You will. And the last thing is this. Do you know what? They found amazing treasure, didn't they? It says those guys, they ate and drank, carried away silver and gold and clothes, and they went off and hid them, blessed them. Why not? And they returned. You know, they needed that stuff. Hey, what do you need tonight? You're allowed it. You're allowed it. Get what you need for yourself. Oh, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to have to love everyone and give to everyone. Well, only when you're full of love yourself. Only when you're so loved up, it's easy to love. Only when you're so blessed and have got so much given to you that it would be a sin not to give some away. It's not all about other people, you know. It's about you and other people. You're one of those other people. You're one of the people who God loves, who Jesus cares about. He wants to bless you, heal you, mend you, love you, he does. Because it's out of that that you can really be generous to other people. These guys, they got what they needed. They got what they needed. But then they stopped. They started getting more and more. And God bless them. They said this. Hang on. Hang on is verse 9. It's not in there, but it's the Teesside version. Hang on. We are not doing right. And here's a good sentence for you to remember. This is a day of good news. And we're keeping it to ourselves. Here's the third thing. You know what? What you find in Jesus, share with others. Share the treasure. Share what you get. Share what you know. Share what you learn. Share what you receive. Share it with other people. These guys did that. They said, let's go at once. If we wait till daylight, we'll be punished ourselves. It's a sin to keep it quiet. It is. Listen, receive Jesus, be filled with Jesus, and then share Jesus with other people. You know, start with your own family. And once, you know, those of us who've been Christians for a while, and we've shared Jesus with our own family and our workmates, well, then go to the ends of the earth. Share it with everyone. Tell everyone everywhere when you get an opportunity. You know, your opportunities might not be as many. Those intimate opportunities aren't as many when you've evangelized your initial crowd. But still do it. Share, have a heart to do it. Be ready, be willing to do it. You know what, with your friends at work, do it. And you never know what happens to you. Sometimes it takes years, doesn't it? In fact, I was just thinking about this afternoon. When I was a gardener years ago, because it was very well educated me, and it was a responsible job, I had my own mower. And when I was a gardener, I used to work in Billingham, actually. And I worked with a lad called Joe. And he was a great lad, not a Christian, but he knew I was. And we were together all the time, and we had some days out together, and I really wanted him to become a Christian, and I prayed for him and tried to share with him about Jesus, and he really liked me, but he didn't want to know the Lord. So and we went for a whole day up to Scotland once. I didn't really like golf, but he wanted to go and see Seve someone up at Ballesteros or something. But anyway, we went and saw this guy who looked like every other guy in a pink jumper to me, but anyway, hitting balls. And then I invited him to the Billy Graham Live Link. Do you remember that? Yeah. Billy Graham Live Link. We went to Thornaby Pavilion, the big screen, and he said, yes, I'm coming. I just thought, yes, this is it. One of my workmates is going to come to Jesus. And I sat next to him and I prayed all night, Lord, Lord, Lord. I was listening to Billy Graham and I was convicted. I thought I'd be going forward myself in a minute. It was so powerful. It was. It really was. And the altar call in that wonderful Billy Graham way. Loads of people got up and went to the front. I was praying for him and praying for him. And he just leant over to me and said, I'm not going forward, Martin. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. I tell you, I said, oh, no problem. No problem. And inside, I went, no. Just thought, going home for a kebab. Or whatever I thought. But you know, 17 years later, this is how it works, isn't it? I was somewhere, this is just the other day, and someone said to me, in fact, you know what, I think it might have been New Life. In fact, if it was one of you guys, please tell me at the end. Or it's somewhere in Stockton or Billingham, they said to me, oh, there's a guy started coming to our church who used to work with you called Joe. And I just thought, yeah, because that's how the kingdom works. God can make those seeds grow anytime he wants. It's not about our timetable or our glory or our notches in our Bible. That's irrelevant. It's for him and for them. He works with people according to their own will, and he can woo them. He can make those seeds grow. But listen, he can only make them grow if they're there. He can only water gospel seeds if gospel seeds have been sown. So sow them. Sow them in faith. Sow them. Tell other people about Jesus. Share good news with people about Jesus. Because people out there, actually, do you know what? The truth is, and many people want to know, the truth is they want to know they've never been told. You know, why not gamble on God? Well, why not be challenged about it? I remember a guy came to our church once, and I was on the staff of Emmanuel, and he came to sell us life insurance. I wasn't interested at all because I'm determined never to die. No, because I'd never have any money and too many kids to bother with stuff, extra stuff like that. So he came and he was desperate. He was a nice lad though, called Carl, I remember his name. He was in the office trying to flog us all the staff, life insurance. It's really important and all this. I just thought, this guy's selling his product to us. We've got the greatest product on earth, you know, and in heaven. Called Jesus. And I said to him, I thought I got sick of him going on and on and on and on. I thought, I'm going to turn the tables on him. So I said, Cal, I said, do you believe in God? He said, not sure. No, something like that. I said, oh, are you opposed to God then? I don't know why I said that. It was a good question. You opposed to God. And people don't like to think of themselves as opposed to God, do they? He sort of got a bit against the ropes and said, oh, no, I'm not opposed to God. I said, no, that's what I said. I didn't say, do you believe in God? I said, Cal, are you a Christian? And he said, no. And I said, that? I said, why not? Which is a great question. Why not? He didn't have a very big question answer for it. He couldn't think why not. He said, I don't know. I said, are you opposed to God? He said, no. I said, well, why aren't you a believer then? He said, because no one's ever asked me. I said, well, I'm asking you. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll do you a deal. And he wanted to think about it, which is fair enough. First time he'd ever heard anything. I said, listen, I'll do you a deal. I'll read all that bumf that you give me if you read all the bumf that I'm going to give you. He was going on a plane to Japan or something the next day on a holiday. And I said, if you promise to read the stuff I give you on the plane, I'll read all this bumf. I lied. Anyway, but I hope he's saved. Do you know what? And I was thinking about this, and I'll end with this. You know, a few years ago, I was sat in my room. It's harder to share Jesus when you're a Christian, when you've been Christian for a while. It is, because you've got less contacts and less friends. And I remember sat in the bedroom one summer day, doing a sermon at a Bible college about evangelism, teaching on evangelism. And I thought, Ruddick, you're a hypocrite. When do you ever tell anyone about Jesus? When's the last time you told someone about Jesus? Not about preaching to people. I do that all the time. I'm talking about sharing with someone about Jesus. The best news you'll ever hear, which is God loves you. Jesus died for you. You can be forgiven. You can go to heaven if you want. Did you know that? That's the best news, isn't it? This is a day of good news. We've got the best news ever, ever. This is a day of good news. And we are keeping it to ourselves, the lepers said. Let this convict you tonight. And we are keeping it to ourselves. I was convicted. I thought, before I finish this sermon, I'm going to go and tell someone, somewhere, that Jesus loves them. And you know what? Listen, you might think I find that easy. I don't. I find this easy. I do. It's a gift. I don't find that easy, personal witnessing, at all. I find it hard. I don't know what to say. Feel embarrassed. Everything else that you probably feel. So I got a Why Jesus booklet, stuck it in my back pocket, and said to my son, Joe, who was about 12 at the time, come on, Joe, we're going for a walk. We went for a walk over the fields. He said, where are we going? I said, we're going to tell someone about Jesus. He said, ooh. So we walked along. And we were walking across the field, and we were praying, Lord, show us who to tell about Jesus. And there was this old bloke on a bike, and he stopped, and I said, that's him, Joe, come on. I walked up to him. I thought, I like old blokes. They're sort of a bit nicer than younger blokes. It's a bit easier. And I thought, he's bound to be in the war. I'll talk about the war. I like talking about the war, you know. I'll start nice and slow, relational-like. And I said to him, you all right, mate? And he was looking at some feathers. I pretended to be interested in pigeons or something. Oh, yeah, pigeons or something, I think, aren't there? Some foxes got them or something. We were chatting a little bit. And I started to talk about the war when he wasn't interested at all. And he looked at me as though there was something wrong with me. He said, anyway, son, see ya. And got on his bike and pedalled off. And I tell you what, I thought, again, my heart. And Joe looked at me as if to say, loser. This is true. And I started walking back. And there was no one out on the fields where we go walking. Hall Drive it is, where the Avenue of Trees is. I'm walking around there. And I thought, oh, come on, Joe, let's go back home. Started walking back to the car. And I said, let's pray one more time, Joe. And I said, Lord, sorry that I blew it with that guy. I don't know how to tell people about you. Will you give me another chance before we get home? And I wasn't sure that he would, but we got back in the car, started driving along. We turned into our road, and as we got into our road, guess who was pedalling down our road? This old guy. So I ran into him with the van, knocked him over. No, I didn't. I caught up with him in the van, jumped out. This is true. I took over him, jumped out. I said, stop. And he stopped. Joe said, I'm staying here. He stayed in the van. I said, listen, mate. I said, I was talking to you on the field. He looked at me as if to say, I know, it was only five minutes ago. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I should have got straight to the point. I said, actually, do you know what? I'm a Christian. And I felt God wanted me to tell you something today that I didn't have the guts to tell you. And he said, what's that? I said, it's just this, that God loves you and Jesus died for you. You know what he said? He said, thank you, son. No one's ever told me that. I said, look, I've got a little booklet here. It's all about Jesus and his love. There's a little prayer at the back. Would you take it? He said, I will. I'll take it and I'll read it. And he got off his bike and he walked up to our car. I have to stop myself doing one liners. He said, your tire's bald. No, sorry. I'm in one of those moods. No, he walked up to the car. This is the truth. And he leant in the window and he said to our Joe, your dad's one in a million. I thought, he's right there. In lots of ways. But in this way, definitely. In that it's a day, you know, it's one in a million hours that I ever do that. Go cold to someone and just tell them Jesus loves them. And you know what? He could have had a load of different reactions, couldn't he? And you know what? You might have done that and had many reactions. He could have said, so what? He could have pedaled off. He could have laughed or done anything. But he didn't. He took the book. He pedaled off, an old man, to read this book and read this prayer. You know what? They're out there on our streets, these people. They're walking around our town centres. They're in our old people's homes. They may even be part of our families. But listen, three quick things. Don't stay where you are tonight. Whoever you are, even if you're a believer, don't stay where you are. Because you'll die. Move. Go over to the Lord. Get this treasure from Jesus. Whatever you need is in that bag. The treasure of Christ. And whatever you get, be willing to share it. Because that is when you really get filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on us to empower us to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. And if you want to be filled for a purpose. And then he'll fill you because you mean business. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit. We thank you tonight that you're in this room. We thank you tonight for your word, that it's more sharper than a two-edged sword. It's more powerful than thunder. It's hotter than lightning and louder than thunder, it is. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take your word tonight and to explode it into people's lives in this room and anyone listening on the internet. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to take this word, put it in their heart now and explode it so that things happen, people move, people receive treasure, and people share what they get. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to give you an opportunity now to respond to the Lord. If you know tonight you need to move and you alone know what this means, you one of those lepers and you say, I'm not going to stay where I am because I'm going to die here. I'm going to die. I'm going to move. Then I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are now just as a sign of response. Response to the Lord and say, I'm going to move. I'm going to move. You do that now and the Lord's going to meet us. I'm going to pass over to Paul. Paul's going to take over. I'm going to keep worshipping. The Holy Spirit is here. If you're not in a rush, we're not. The Holy Spirit is here. God wants to do things.